And then Greg Ramaziel gave class on text 11, which is on the board. So how many devotees have books? Two. Well, we can chant Aspit for 11 since we didn't chant it yesterday, and then we'll read from text 12. Maya Uvacha Ganga Jamunayor Nadyor Antara Kshetram Avasan Arabdhan Eva Bhubje Bhogan Punya Jahasaya Maite Uvacha Ganga Jamunayor Nadyor Antara Kshetram Avasan Arabdha Eva Bhubhuje Bhogan Punya Jahasaya. Wait a minute. Better do better than Nana. Everyone chant the Sanskrit, please. And I'm glad that you're here. That's better than some of those that aren't here. Now that you're here, chant with your lungs and vocal cords and make some sound. Maitre uvacha Ganga Jamunayor Nadyor Antara Kshetram Avasan Arabdhan Eva Bhuje Bhogan Punya Jahasaya. Maitre Uvacha Ganga Jamunayor Nadyor Antvaitram Avasan Arabdhan Eva Bhubhuje Bhogan Punya Jahasaya. Maitreya Uvacha Ganga Jamuna Nadyor Yara Kshetram Avasan Arabdhan Eva Bhubhuje Bhogan Punya Jahaya. Maitre Uvacha Jumayor Nadyor Anurak Chetram Abhasan Aradhan Eva Bhubhude Bhogan Punya Jahasaya. Maitre Uvacha Ganga Jamunayor Nadyor Andhra Kshetram Avasan Arabdhan Eva Bhubhuje Bhogan Punya Jahasaya. Ladies, Maitre Uvacha Ganga Jamunayor Nadyor Antara Kshetram Avasan Arabdhan Eva Bhubhuje Bhoganya Jahasaya. Maitre Uvacha Ganga Jamunayor Nadyor Antara Kshetram Avasan Arabdhan Eva Bhubhuje Bhogan Punya Jahasaya. Maitre Uvacha Ganga Jamunayor Nadyor Antara Kshetram Avasan Arabdhan Eva Bhubhuje Bhogan Punya Jahasaya. Maitre Uvacha, the great Saint Maitreya said, Ganga, the river Ganges, Jamunayo, of the river Jam, Nadyo, of the two rivers, Andhra, Bheem, Kshetram, the land, Avasan, living there, Arabdhan, destined, Eva, like, Bhubhute, enjoyed, Bhogan, fortunes, Punya, pious activities, Jahasaya, for the purpose of diminishing. So I'll read the translation and then I'll read the translation for today's verse right after. Actually, it's in the purport for today's, there's reference to yesterday's verse. So pay attention. The great saintly sage Maitreya told Vidura, "My dear Vidura, King Prithvi lived in the tract of land between the two great rivers, Ganges and Jamuna. Because he was very opulent, it appeared that he was enjoying his destined fortune in order to diminish the result of his past pious activities." Text 12. Sarvatra skalita deva saptadvipaika dandadrik anyatra brahmana kulad atrachuta gotara. Translation, Maharaj Prithu was an unrivaled king and possessed the scepter for ruling all the seven islands on the surface of the globe. No one could disobey his irrevocable wish but the saintly persons, the brahmanas, and the descendants of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, the Vaishnavas. Report. Saptadvipa refers to the seven great islands or continents on the surface of the globe. And then Prabhupada, listen. 1. Asia. 2. Europe. 3. Africa. 4. North America. 5. South America. 6. Australia. 7. Oceania. In the modern age, people are under the impression that during the period or the prehistoric ages, America and many other parts of the world had not been discovered. That is not a fact. Prithu Maharaj ruled over the world many thousands of years for the so-called prehistoric age. And it's clearly mentioned here that in those days not only were all the different parts of the world known, but they were ruled by one king, Rajputu. The country where Rajputu Maharaj resided must have been in, because it is stated in the 11th verse, verse that we just chanted the Sanskrit for, it is stated in the 11th verse of this chapter that he lived in the tract of land between the rivers Ganges and Jamuna. This tract of land, which is called Brahmavar, consists of what is known in the modern age as portions of Punjab and northern India. It is clear that the kings of India once ruled all the world. Their culture was Vedic. The word Askalita indicates that orders by the king could not be disobeyed by anyone in the entire world. Such orders, however, were never issued to all saintly persons or the descendants of the Supreme Personality of Lord Vishnu. The Supreme Lord is known Achyuta, and Lord Krishna is addressed as such by Arjuna in Bhagavad Gita, Senayor Madhye Ratham Stapaya Mechuta. Achyuta refers to one who does not fall because he is never influenced by the modes of material nature. When a living entity falls down to the material world from his original position, he becomes chuta, which means that he forgets his relationship with achuta. Actually, every living entity is part and parcel, or a son, of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. When influenced by the modes of material nature, a living entity forgets his relationship and thinks in terms of different species of life. But when he again comes to original consciousness, he does not observe such bodily designations. This is indicated in Bhagavad Gita 5:18 by the words Pandita Samadama. Material designations create differentiation in terms of caste, color, creed, nationality, etc. Different gotras or family designations are distinctions in terms of the material being. But when one comes to Krishna consciousness, he immediately becomes one of the Achyuta Gotra, descendants of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, and thus becomes transcendental to all considerations of caste, creed, color, and nationality. Pitu Maharaj had control. This is a new paragraph. These are very separate ideas, but Prabhupada is weaving them. Pitu Maharaj had no control over the Brahmana Kula, which refer to the learned scholars in Vedic knowledge, nor over Vaishnavas, who are above the considerations of Vedic knowledge. It is therefore said, Ache Vaishnavashina Dhir Guru Shu Naramatyashnave Jati Guldhir Vishnur Vaishnavanam Kalimala Matame Pada Tirtaimbu Brudhi Shri Vishnur Nami Matre Sakala Kalushu He Shraddha Samanya Budhir Vishnau Sarvesh Vareshe Tat Itara Samadhir Yasava Narakisa. One who thinks to be in the temple to be made of wood or stone, one thinks of the spiritual master in the disciplic succession as an ordinary man, thinks the Vaishnava in the Achyuta Gotra to belong to a certain caste or creed, or who thinks of Charanamrita or Ganges water as ordinary water, is taken to be a resident of hell. This is from Padma Purana. From the facts presented in this verse, it appears that people in general should be controlled by a king until they come to the plane of Vaishnava and Brahmanas, and are not in control of anyone. Brahmana refers to one who is Brahman, or the impersonal feature of the Absolute, and a Vaishnava is one who serves the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Om Jnana Tamahindasya Ananjana Zaya Chakshuna Militam Jena Tasmai Sri Gurave Namaha Sri Chaitanya Manobhistam Stapitam Yena Bhutarezam Upadadamayam Dadati Svapadantikam. There's several very nice points that are being addressed in this verse. I hope there's enough time to cover all. The first, immediately, Prabhupada is taking the opportunity for one of his favorite preaching points, and that is kicking on the science. Once Prabhupada said like that, the more you kick on the scientist, the more you'd... Meaning, he explained in other circumstances, that by training and therefore conditioning, we have so much faith in the words of the scientists, and cause for doubt in the conclusion, conversely, cause for doubt in Vedic conclusions can be traced back to our faith in science. If the scientists confirm something that's stated in the Vedas, then it gives us encouragement to have greater faith in the Vedas, rather than the other way around. One example of this is the seeming contradiction that the stool of an animal is contaminated, and one who touches, comes in contact with the stool of an animal, must immediately bathe to free themselves from contamination. At the same time, the Vedas say a seemingly contradictory thing, that cow dung is antiseptic, and if you get cut, you can put it on your body, and it'll not only it's not contaminated, but it will heal that cut or wound. Or the modern experience of people who are professing to have some retrogression experiences or by hypnosis, or at the time of death they have some out-of-body experience, or some kind of conclusion, which like the whole of the exploration of the Vedas that took place prior to World War II, for exploring Vedic science and coming to different ideas of how to split the atom and make atomic bomb. That gives some confidence with our Western mentality or the modern mentality, to have faith in science. If some statement in the Vedas can be verified by science, we have strong conviction or stronger conviction. But because of our faith in science, the Prabhupada directly stated this many times in a confidential way in morning walk discussions, not exactly in lectures, in this kind of a formal arrangement, but in informal discussions. This is one of the biggest impediments, Prabhupada would say, to bringing people to the position of God consciousness, is the strong faith that they have in the speculative process of modern science. So here is one example of this. This is not mythology. When the Bhagavatam is here describing that Prithvi Maharaj ruled seven continents, or dvipa, sapta dvipa. Sapta is seven. And dvipa means island, literally. So the continents are like islands. Just like sometimes the planets within the universe are called dvipas, because they're islands, also surrounded by another kind of ocean than saltwater ocean. They're surrounded by an ocean of air, or space. And they're a little island floating around in space. So the continents, they're also another kind of island, surrounded by water. So, modern science would like us to believe, actually it's all a, they're all in cahoots. The Darwinian scientists are in cahoots with the anthropologists, and the anthropologists are in cahoots with the historians, and the historians are in cahoots with the chemists. With the whole idea of putting praise and glory on the process of mental speculation. In order to establish that the supremacy of mental speculation, they have to assert this historical idea that once upon a time, in the Middle East somewhere, the first civilizations sprang up. We learned this in grade school in Eastern America. The Western view of world history was that somewhere in the Tigris-Euphrates crescent there were these tribal nomads first established some kind of civilization. And prior to that, there was no civilized life. And then they have different, according to anthropology or according to world history, they have different categories of conditions of what establish so-called civilized life. And prior to that, they call it prehistoric. Prehistoric because they didn't have any kind of symbols for language. The archaeologists go to caves and different places and find little symbols, and they take it as this is their language, you know, it's primitive language system. And and prior to that also they cannot find the skeletal structure of human beings. This is interesting information, perhaps, because the time comes that you speak with someone who is a college-educated person or a die-hard person that is addicted to modern science and mental spectrum. We had this situation at the Festival of India. I had a direct experience with several people, especially surrounding the Origins exhibit. Even in particular, there was one young young teenage boy who spent hours giving all the modern scientific arguments. And he was very satisfied. He was actually relishing the fact that one after the next, giving these speculative arguments, that they were being defeated. He was getting a thrill out of it. Each argument that he presented was getting knocked down. But they have these kinds of ideas that is proper to saying the so-called prehistoric era. The writings of the Bhagavatam are also, according to this prehistoric, when history began, when civilization began, according to that conception of time, the Vedic literatures could not have been present 5,000 years ago and written down. From the very outset, the principles that Krishna consciousness or Vedic life stands for is a direct challenge. Fundamentally, it's a challenge to everything that the modern conception of things has. Because if one accepts, just as we hear, and we tell people, please take this book, sir, because it is a very ancient book of wisdom that was written down 5,000 years ago. Immediately a light goes off in their head. No, that's not possible. You're just a blind follower because that's before history. That's before there was civilization. How could books of knowledge come before there was civilization, before there was language and symbols and people learning how to live other than just eating wild things that grow off the land, like animals do. Cultivating the land and raising animals for slaughter and eating them. This is also one of their conditions for civilized life, to learn how to establish a diet other than what animals do for diet. Including cooking. Anyway, just the fact that in this verse it is being described that Maharaj Prithu had a kingdom that not only knew about all the different places on the planet. Maybe in Europe, in the Middle Ages, they didn't know about other places on the planet, but that does not mean that because they didn't know it in Europe, they didn't know it anywhere. The term for this is called ethnocentric. They think because we are the center, this is part of material consciousness. Aham mameti. I am the center of all existence. This is false ego. I am the center of all existence. And my nation is the most important nation. It all fits in with what this purport is describing, verse and purport. One who is free from this bodily conception of life is one who doesn't see according to those distinctions. The references being made, Vidya Vinaya Sampani, Brahmani Gavi Hostani, Shuni Chaiva Sapakya Cha Pandita Samadarshana. Only someone who is learned, who is free from the bodily concept of life, can see with equal vision all varieties of living beings. Pandita Samadarshana. One who is not such a pundit does not see things equally. To see things equally means to see in terms of the soul. Because obviously the bodies are not the same. One body is not identical with the next body. One species of life is not identical with the next. Meaning he's seeing according to the soul. And relationships are established differently according to the body. One who sees equally does see differentiation, but it doesn't identify the individual to be that bodily differentiation. It does not identify the individual according to, making reference to this verse, according to Gotra. So Gotra means, does everybody know what Gotra means? No. Gotra means family lineage, like who your ancestors are. And in our Western culture, that doesn't bear nearly the same kind of significance as it does, for example, in India. Right, Jaya? Immediately when someone says their name in India, you can tell right away what their gotra is. Or you can ask particular questions and then you can tell lots of details about someone's ancestors or previous generations. And for the caste conscious persons, that means a lot. Immediately it puts you in a little cubbyhole, a pigeon hole. Oh, so this is the kind of family that you have. And therefore immediately, Prabhupada spent so much time in his purports also defeating this idea. In fact, establishing Bhaktisiddhanta spent so much time in his preaching in India defeating this idea that brahmanas must come from those who are born in brahmana families. The caste system in India was very, very strong. In part, the caste system was very strong because Vaishnavism had become for some period of time very weak. Couldn't run out of time. Around the time of Bhaktivinoda Thakur, just as the spiritual master of Bhaktivinoda Thakur was Jagannath Das Babaji, and following after the six Goswamis and several generations of writers, we have Narottam Das Thakur and so on, many very learned and intellectual persons established very wonderful writings on the science of Krishna consciousness, on the science of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and Vaishnava understanding. Several generations after that, however, things had, the preaching spirit had diminished to the point where those persons who were the most prominent Vaishnavas were Babaji's as opposed to preachers. So within the subcontinent of India, the people in general were not appreciating nearly as much as during Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's time the Vaishnava culture. Instead, they were taking it as mere sentimentalism for persons who, much like the Western, some Western people think of those who are pursuing religious life as just misfits within society. Because they can't fit within society, they're taking up this other, and they're just living off of the hard labor of society. Therefore people say to us, why don't you get a job when you go on Harinam chanting, glorifying the holy name? In Western society people speak this way. So Bhaktivinoda Thakur, being a very, very strong, learned scholar, he wrote prodigiously, wrote so many literatures, along with his position of being a high court judge. He reestablished the respect amongst the learned circles within India, the educated circles, in the principles of Vaishnavism. And his son, Bhaktisiddhanta, took it further and directly confronted the Shankaracharya followers and challenged, and also the caste-conscious persons, and challenged their fundamental points of belief or acceptance, that you must be born in a certain gotra, certain family. Your parents must be a certain parents in order for you to become qualified in this life. Just like even today, some of you may go to Jagannath Puri and try to see Jagannath deity. Unless you're skin is dark enough, unless you can pass through, they won't detect. Just like Bhakti Tirtha Maharaj went into Jagannath temple wearing a suit, saying that because his skin is dark, he was saying his parents were from India, his grandparents were from India, he was living currently in Africa. That's why his accent wasn't the same as theirs. And they allowed him to go right into the temple. But if your skin is like this, then they stand and sneer and say, just wait till next lifetime. Continue your practice of devotional service, so then your next lifetime, you can be born in India, in a Brahmana family. Then you can see Lord Jagannath. But this is directly contrary to the very basic philosophy of Bhagavad Gita and Srimad Bhagavatam. Here, nice references being made to the Padma Purana. I'll again read the translation. The translation addresses someone who is thinking in terms of mundane conception of the deity, or mundane conception of the spiritual master who is in disciplic succession, thinking the deity is ordinary, the spiritual master in disciplic succession is ordinary. One who is a Achyuta Gotra, one who is a descendant by seminal lineage of the descendants of the Personality of Godhead. Just like your Prabhupada makes reference in Chaitanya Charitamrita to the Nityananda Vamsa. They were claiming that through family lineage, they were the exclusive, no one else had access to the teachings of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Because they were descendants of Nityananda by family lineage. They and they alone. They were very and very prominent during the time of Bhaktisiddhanta, and Bhaktisiddhanta challenged the whole premise. There were so many references to the scripture and his very powerful conviction in the conclusions of the scripture, he defeated this false notion. So here in the Padma Purana, the same idea is described, that Achyuta Gotra, one who says that I am, because of my parentage in previous ancestry, from a line coming from Achyuta, the infallible Lord, Lord Krishna, therefore I am of a specific creed or caste. The Padma Purana says, one who has this mentality is a resident of hell, because the mentality is hellish mentality, thinking that the body establishes one's spiritual position. The converse of that is that one's body disallows one from a spiritual position, any more than the body allows one for a spiritual position, which is not the case. Pandita Samadarshana. The other reference is that the Ganges water is ordinary water. That which has come in contact with the lotus feet of the Personality of Godhead is ordinary. This is hellish mentality. So one who thinks, extend the idea, that same idea, one who thinks in terms of creed, or color, or nationality, this is not at all the right principle. The example Prabhupada gives is that one who is born in the family of a doctor. It doesn't mean that he's going to be a doctor. Just because you meet someone whose father is a doctor doesn't mean that you're going to allow that person to treat you medically. Or someone whose father is a dentist. Or someone whose father is a lawyer. That you're going to have that person represent you in court simply because his father is a lawyer. Or that you let him pull your tooth because his father is a dentist. That isn't at all. No, people will not act on that platform. People don't do that in everyday life. And yet, in terms of spiritual ideas, some like to hold on to that idea falsely. Because I'm born in a Brahmin family, therefore I am Brahmin. Not at all. One may be, but that is certainly no guarantee. But because my family, my father, is a Brahmin, therefore I am Brahmin. We find that even within our ISKCON society. Young boys and girls that grow up with very nice devoted parents don't always turn out to be very nice devoted children. In fact, some of them turn out to be little monsters. We can't claim that they're brahmanas if they're guna in karma. Chatur Varnamayashvastam guna karma vibhagasha. Their particular situation with a society is according to their quality and their work. Not according to their parentage, who their mother and father are, or who their mother and father are. It has nothing to do with it. And yet, people are functioning on this platform. So, Achyuta Gotra has nothing to do with what your ancestry is, what your Gotra is. Although the term Gotra is used, what Prabhupada is describing here is one who becomes a servant of the personality of Godhead. That is Achyuta Gotra. We are, regardless of the modes of material nature from which we are coming previously, one who actually takes shelter of the personality of Godhead and renders devotional service, loving devotional service, under the personality of Godhead. Such person enters into the transcendental family. The Christians also have this idea, the Son of God. Christ is the only begotten Son of God. The Prabhupada is saying here, right in the purport, very clearly, technically, every living being is part and parcel, or the Son of, the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Now one may be, so that that gives one the right, doesn't immediately qualify one, because you're a spirit soul. Every living being is a spirit soul. It doesn't entitle you to be a good son, but rather your quality and your activity. That entitles you to be considered a good son of the Lord. And one who is that good son of the Lord, one who is obedient to the orders of the Father, that is Achyuta Gotra, the infallible. And then the living entity who is Chuta, or can become fallen and covered by the modes of material nature. The material energy becomes, it's normally very difficult to overcome, can be easily crossed over. The modes of material nature become transcended by taking shelter of the personality of Godhead. So class has gone over time already. If there's any questions or points of discussion, otherwise we'll stop. Santyaraj wasn't here this morning, so normally he starts the questions. That's why it's nice if the older devotees also come for class. Krishna Seva? And before 5000, when Prithu Maharaj was present. Thank you. The condition of life is continuing to go down. Because of demoniac science, the discovery or the development of more rapid ways to drag society to hell doesn't mean that now things are more advanced as opposed to when they were less advanced, when people were less technologically capable of dragging themselves to hell very quickly. That development of technology compared to the Vedic culture previously is insignificant. Just as these verses will go on and describe, tomorrow's verse will describe how the residents of the heavenly planets, they came to this earth, and the residents of earth, then the guys were able to travel all over the place. And they didn't spend billions of dollars for, you know, stainless steel rocket ships. They had more subtle means of conveyance and far less accident prone. They didn't have to take out insurance. They didn't have their ships explode because of a little leak in the fuel lines. And have their bodies blown to smithereens all over the place. Far more advanced. So what we're accepting as advancement is inferred by your question. 5,000 years ago was very advanced. Then there was a lull where everyone was just kind of asleep, and now we're kept becoming advanced again. That's what modern science would have us believe. Therefore, they have to dismiss the whole idea that this is just myth. And that actually, not only was myth, but then another idea was, it wasn't written 5,000 years ago, it was written by modern people. And those religious fanatics, they say it's written 5,000 years ago, but we know better. It was written by so-and-so and after Christ, and so-and-so after Christ, and another person after Christ, and the whole compilation was put together, and everyone's being duped. They teach this in the universities. If you get an opportunity to speak in a Indology class, they call it, that's what they teach. There's the four Vedas. They go so far as to say there are four Vedas. But anything other than that, it's just modern writers. Complete rascals. The extremes that they'll go to deny the supremacy of the personality of Godhead is amazing. So there wasn't, to answer your question, are you satisfied with the answer? There wasn't development of technology. And now there is development of technology because it's further misuse of human intelligence. Further misuse to drag more rapidly to hell. The whole society, centered on the demoniac leaders and the demoniac intellectuals, who are misusing their intellectual power, which is meant to elevate society to spiritual understanding. Instead, they're misusing it to drag people further to hellish condition of life, completely in ignorance and disavowment of the personality of Godhead. Anything to accomplish that. Just for money. And with that money, there's sense gratification. The intellectual said so, because the brahmanas are not supposed to receive payment for the use of their intellect. But these so-called intellectuals, that's the name of the game. They'll go to the university and sell out their intellect, whatever will bring them the greatest revenue. This is demoniac. So much more is mine. So much today is mine. So much more will become mine in the future. I have my plan. Demoniac mentality. When intellectuals also become demoniac, everything is ruined. So the intellectuals had a little more honor than that in this middle period that you're talking about. They had a little more morals and scruples. Just like in our modern society, the understanding is there that there is certain freedom of religion. Government controls everybody, but there's a certain freedom allowed to those persons who are religious persons. Just like it's described here with Pritha Maharaj. But harassment comes again and again and again. that was the foundation of this country, but it's being worn away. And other places in the world, it's already gone. But why is that here? It's just a remnant of the Vedic culture, where the Brahmanas, the Vaishnavas, and the Achyuta Gotras, they were allowed to not be under the stringent rule of the government. That's why it's the duty of these two sections of society, those who are intellectually competent and those that are administrators, to know the conclusion of the science. Evam parampara praptam imam rajarshiyo vidu. The kings had that duty. Because they have to rule. Their quality is they will rule. They will lead others. And those that don't know the conclusions of that science will mislead others. Have to stop. All glories to